Hello, divers. This week, we focus on the Stanley Parable, a first-person exploration game unlike any other. You will play as Stanley and you will not play as Stanley. You will follow a story and not follow a story. You will have a choice and you will have no choice. The game will end, however, it will also never end. The game is designed by Davey Redden and developed by Galactic Cafe and narrated by the ever-talented Kevin Brighting. Of course, it is recommended that you play the game before listening, as we are going to dive deep, and in the abyss, there be spoilers. Without further ado, let's descend.
Choice. It's the best part of being a real person, but if used incorrectly, can also be the most dangerous. For example, in this scenario, a hypothetical real person named Stephen has a choice. He could spend years helping improve the quality of life for citizens of impoverished third world nations, or he could systematically set fire to every orphan living in a 30-kilometer radius of his house. Which choice would you make? Remember that unlike here, the real world makes sense, and at no time should you make a choice that does not conform to rational logic. If you find yourself speaking with a person who does not make sense, in all likelihood, that person is not real. Allow the person to finish their thought, then provide an excuse why you cannot continue talking. Turn to a partner and practice saying, "My goodness, is it 4:30? I'm supposed to be having a back, sack, and crack." Excellent. Making choices on a regular basis is the best part to a healthy decision-making process. Most medical professionals recommend making at least 8 choices per day. Do you make more than 8? Less? And finally, if you begin to wonder if your choices are actually meaningful and whether you'll ever make a significant contribution to the world, just remember that in the vast infiniteness of space, your thoughts and problems are materially insignificant, and the feeling should subside. At this time, your instructor will guide you in an exercise to test and reinforce the material covered in this video.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so with me today, I have my best friend, Mergles.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. She is a storyboard artist, currently residing in Toronto. And I also have with me the infamous Mr. B, my partner in crime. Hello.
Hi. I was making a face, but no one can see it. So.
No. Thanks for being on my podcast, both of you.
Yeah, of course.
You're welcome.
So, Mergles and I had recorded 2.5 hours of audio for Mass Effect, and we actually had an episode due out today. And I did not have time to edit that episode, that 2.5 hours of content of Mass Effect.
Which makes sense.
So she called in a ringer, Mr.
I
B.
I did. Mr.
Nothing
B.
Nothing keeps a conversation short like Mr. B.
That is not at all what I was thinking. So what happened was, Mergles, bless her, was like, do you want to just record another really quick short one? And, you know, that way it's easier for you to edit, because Mass Effect is just, there's so much to it and all that. And I said, okay, that would be fantastic. Trying not to cry. Thank you for your assistance. And then I went in and I told Mr. B what we were doing real quick. And he goes, Stanley Parable? You're going to try to talk about Stanley Parable for only 30 minutes? It's like a masterpiece. It's like one of the best games of all time.
That's not okay. You're leaving out a critical part of this story, which I am going to expose to your listeners, which is that you came in and you said,
it's been a long time since I played Stanley Parable. Right. Can you summarize
Stanley Parable for me? No, you cannot summarize that game in 3 sentences. It's not possible. It defies summarization. Then she went on to admit that she has.
Don't you dare.
Only played 20 minutes of.
I played a good chunk of the game.
You said 20 minutes and that it just didn't hold your attention. So if you haven't played Stanley Parable and you're listening,
don't listen.
That's the kind of game that you're in for today. The discussion is going to be longer than the time period for which this game held PB's attention.
I feel like we might be in another Mass Effect situation. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
just a gentle reminder not to sip your tea in front of the microphone. Gross.
Oh. I'm leaving that in. Okay, so let's talk the Stanley Parable.
What should we talk about?
What is the Stanley Parable?
Minutes of the game.
Yes. Please tell me, because I don't remember. No, I'm kidding. I know that.
Okay, so truly, the game never ends. I played it for a long time, longer than 20 minutes. And I played it a few years ago. So literally, I was like, okay, we're going to record this thing. Let me just quickly look up Stanley Parable. I thought that I had played that game exhaustively. Pretty sure I got most of the endings. And then I looked it up, and it was just like all of the endings that you could possibly get. And so many of them I had no idea about that I actually was like, oh my God, I need to stop looking this up because I need to go back and play the game again and again and again and again. It's so good.
There are that many endings?
Yeah. There's got to be...
Maybe I got 30 an ending.
Or 40 endings or something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Maybe I did get an ending. Hold on. I swear, I played such a huge chunk of this. Because here's what I remember. I remember that you slowly unravel, because it starts in an office.
Yes.
And then the narrator slowly reveals that you're not really in that office. Or you're in an office, but it's not the office that you thought you were in. And you weren't actually doing this repetitive dead-end job every day. Or you are, and it's for some other purpose. And I remember this weird room with tons of, data and stuff. And I remember it revealing that. And then I think I got an ending, and it was just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe I didn't realize there were multiple endings or multiple playthroughs.
That's... So Stanley Parable is, I guess this is also for the benefit of anyone who hasn't played Stanley Parable. The best way I could describe it is a choose your own adventure book in video game format. So I don't know if anybody's read choose your own adventure books, but they sometimes defy their own logic depending on what path you go down. So something might get established during one leg of the story, and then you finish that leg of the story and you get the ending where, you know, Bob was a photographer his whole life, and then you start the same story again. So, you know, you start off in the office in the case of the Stanley Parable. And then you find out when you're going down a different path that Bob is actually a hunter, and he does something entirely different. Like, Stanley Parable changes every time you progress down a certain path, and it's never the same. It's every ending is wildly different. The way you get to those endings is wildly different. And it's all narrated by... a very smooth-talking narrator. So what more do you want?
Yeah.
And I think a key feature as well with Stanley Parable is that you start off at the beginning of the game and the narrator is describing what you are supposed to do.
This is the story of a man named Stanley. Stanley worked for a company in a big building where he was employee number 427. Employee number 427's job was simple. He sat at his desk in room 427, and he pushed buttons on a keyboard. Orders came to him through a monitor on his desk, telling him what buttons to push, how long to push them, and in what order. This is what employee 427 did every day of every month of every year. And although others might have considered it soul-ending, Stanley relished every moment that the orders came in, as though he had been made exactly this job. And Stanley was happy. And then one day, something very peculiar happened. Something that would forever change Stanley. Something he would never quite forget. He had been at his desk for nearly an hour when he realized that not one single order had arrived on the monitor for him to follow. No one had showed up to give him instructions, call a meeting, or even say, hi. Never in all his years at the company had this happened, this complete isolation. Something was very clearly wrong. Shocked, frozen solid, Stanley found himself unable to move for the longest time. But as he came to his wits and regained his senses, he got up from his desk and stepped out of his office.
And so there's a huge element in the game of going against what the narrator is saying, and that, like, that leading you to other things. So it's like Stanley left his office, and you then have to decide whether you want to leave the office or stay in the office, or, you know, all that stuff.
And there is a moment, actually, where you go to follow what he says, or you don't do what he says. And then he's like, but what are you doing? Or, like, he gets a little agitated that you're not following his narration.
It's a really exciting and fascinating way to play, because you can follow his direction and then he will change his instructions. So if you ignore him 1 second and then follow him the next second, he will be like, oh, well, now that Stanley has finally come to his senses and is doing the thing that I told him to do, you know what I mean? I would also say it's, like, hugely existential. Almost everything about it is hugely existential.
Did either of you feel like, did you know that that was happening when you weren't following, like, when did it occur to you to not follow his narration? Because I imagine for you.
Instantly?
Really?
Of course. It's just fun, right? Yeah. You get to test the limits of the game. And he tells you, there's a couple of instances in the game where he's like, Stanley went and took the right door, and there's clearly two doors in front of you.
When Stanley came to a set of two open doors, he entered the door on his left.
Which, of course, means you have the option to try the left door, which I did instantly. And that's, like, I think the game does a good job of encouraging you to play in that way, where it'll present you a really obvious option, or in some cases, like Merle's mentioned, it just straight up tells you, like, Stanley took the right door. And then you get presented with two options, which, you know, maybe the right door, but also the left door, and you can just pick whatever.
Do you do that in real life?
Do I do it in real life? No, I don't know. I don't.
Like, do you, when you're presented with two options and you feel like the right thing to do or what everybody expects you to do is one thing, and so you are more inclined to do the other thing, like go through the left door?
No, but this is a video game, so.
See, but that's, I feel like that's a fundamental difference in how I approach a game, I guess. I try to approach it as if I were in the game. And I think you, like you said right away, I want to push the limitations of the game. I want to see what's possible in the game. I like to kind of put myself in the world and then explore what they want to tell me or what they want to show me. That's very interesting. What about you, Merx?
Well, I follow rules. So I think
so you follow literally everything the narrator.
I follow. Yeah. I think for the first while I did, and it wasn't until like my second pass through it or my third pass through it that I really started to like branch out. So I started with the follow the rules version of the game. I think it's like called the vanilla ending. And so that's what I did. It's great because you can do little things and that can change your ending, or you can do big things and that can change your ending. Like, you could just ignore him the whole time. That gets you a whole different ending. You could follow what he says for the first half and then make one, two different decisions and it takes you somewhere else, and that gets you an entirely different ending as well. And I remember the first time that I played it, I actually thought it was a horror game for a while. Like, I got really like nervous for the first bit. I don't know why.
Well, I guess if you go through the whole game and you're not really listening to him, that can be a little bit unnerving. Because I do remember him being a little bit annoyed and or agitated when I didn't listen, especially when you get to that point with like the red doors or the red where he specifically has you making a choice and then you're not doing that. Then I do remember him getting a little annoyed.
The narrator also starts to really build a personality as well as you play. And he has this sort of exasperated existence, and he gets very, he'll get agitated, but then he'll get desperate. He like goes through a full range of emotion, which I find to be really interesting.
Stanley decided to go to the meeting room to check on his co-workers. He never functioned well by himself and constantly needed support and guidance from others, so the thought of total solitude was terrifying to him. This was not the correct way to the meeting room, and Stanley knew it perfectly well. Perhaps he wanted to stop by the employee lounge first, just to admire it. Wow. Yes. This room. What a beautiful room. What a gorgeous, gorgeous room. Thank goodness Stanley had taken this detour on his way to the meeting room. Life without having experienced this room was now too horrible even to consider. But eager to get back to business, Stanley took the first open door on his left. Stanley was so bad at following directions, it's incredible he wasn't 5 years ago. Look, Stanley, I think perhaps we've gotten off on the wrong foot here. I'm not your enemy, really, I'm not. I realize that investing your trust in someone else can be difficult, but the fact is that the story has been a... What? Really? I was in the middle of something. Do you have zero consideration for others? Are you that convinced that I want something bad to happen to you? Why, I don't know how to convince you of this, but I really do want to help you, to show you something beautiful. Look, let me prove it. Let me prove that I'm on your side. Give me a chance. Now listen carefully, this is important. Stanley walked through the red door. Oh, thank God you are willing to listen to me. Do you see that I really have wanted you to be happy all this time? The problem is all these choices. The two of us always trying to get somewhere that isn't here. Running and running and running, just the way you're doing right now. Don't you see that it's killing us, Stanley? I want it to stop. We would both be so much happier if we just stopped. And I think I have a solution. Here, let me show you. Here, yes. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? If we just stay right here, right in this moment with this place, Stanley, I think I feel happy. I actually feel happy. No, wait. Where are you going? Oh, no. Stay away from those stairs. If you hurt yourself, if you die, the game will reset. We'll lose all of this. Please, no, Stanley, let me stay here. Don't take this from me. No!
He's trying to do his job as the narrator. So you get the impression that he's reading from a book or a script, and he's trying very hard to keep you on script. But every time you break that script, he gets annoyed. Like you're an actor on a stage, he tries to coax you into your proper line. So when you don't take that line, or you purposefully take the opposite of that line, he gets upset. The first ending I got in that game actually ended up clipping me outside of the level, and I thought it was bugged, but it turned out to be an ending where they were like, oh, you found yourself in this infinite loop that just teleports you around outside the level. And I was sold immediately. Like, I thought that was super cool. Not many games are willing to let you see behind the curtain like that, and then see behind the curtain without actually letting you see behind the curtain, because that's not a bug, it's a feature, they programmed it in, right? But yeah, you don't see that very often.
There's also lots of existential questions that happen as you continue on. So the more you don't listen to him, the more he will make statements. Or like one of the endings I think is called the... Well, I don't think. I looked it up. It's called the museum ending. And that ending is really cool because you end up going into what looks like a museum. And then the narrator changes to a woman. And she kind of like guides you. And then it becomes this whole thing of like, you don't have to let time control you. You can make your own decisions. Just turn back now. Escape from this game. Hit escape and exit the game. It's the only way to leave. It's the only way to win. And like all this other stuff, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. So it gets into places, but then you start the game over again and it becomes this lighthearted romp again. Kind of also giving the impression that the deep existentialism also has no meaning.
Yikes. Oh, yikes.
But then it mixes that with stuff like there's an ending where you come upon a new job for Stanley, and it's you're in a room and there's a baby it's a cardboard cutout of a baby. It's very clearly a cardboard cutout of a baby. And then there's a cardboard cutout of a fire. Or no, it's not a cardboard cutout. It's a real fire. And the baby, the narrator explains, like, here's your new job. There's a button, and the baby just slowly moves towards the right-hand side of the screen where the fire is. You're gasping, but it's, like, comical because it's clearly just, like, a stupid cardboard cutout. Like, there's nothing remotely believable yeah. about the situation at all. And he says, so your job now is to prevent the baby from going into the fire by pressing this button. So the baby will go towards the right-hand side of the screen fairly slowly. And then you'll press the button, and then it'll go back to the left-hand side of the screen and start progressing towards the right-hand side of the screen again. And it never stops. Wow. So you can keep pressing this button. Now, if you're technologically inclined and you're fairly intelligent, you might decide, well, I'm going to set up an auto hotkey so that I can just press this button over and over again. So what the game creator did is has that button move after, like, 30 minutes so that if you created a script to press the button over and over again, that will fail. And then after another 30 minutes of that, he has you press two buttons so that you have to, like, move back and forth. I might be getting the details wrong here, but he sets it up so that eventually after, like, an hour and a half of pressing these fucking buttons so that the baby doesn't kill itself, that you have so many things to do that it's literally impossible for you to not be just sitting at the computer doing this. And it does actually progress into an ending, but it is some unreal amount of time later. I don't remember the details, but it might be like 8 hours later or something. What? Like that, where you have to sit there and just press these
no
buttons
way.
And stuff all over again. Of course, 90% of people let the baby go into the fire after, like, 30 seconds, which is what I did, and then it progresses on to a different ending. But there is an ending if you continue to press the button for 8 real-life hours.
Wow, that is crazy.
Can you imagine being that game developer and being like, yo, guys, I'm gonna make this unattainable goal, and everyone's gonna try to attain it, and that's the ultimate joke, is that some schmuck sat there for 8 real-time hours. And then the ending could just be like, haha.
Yeah, it's the ending is extremely unsatisfying. You can check it out on YouTube. But
wow.
I think my understanding of it as well is that there wasn't originally one coded in, but he realized that gamers on the whole are just so tenacious that there will be someone who will actually sit there for 8 hours pressing the exact same button over and over again just to see what happens.
Yeah.
But I like that the game tests that, I guess. Like, that's interesting to me. It's just not something that most games are willing to explore, I guess. Games nowadays have just become gigantic money generators, and Stanley Parable bothers...
Thanks for listening to my podcast.
Yeah.
About video games. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, they're, just they're super transparent about their, you know, gacha mechanisms and gambling and loot boxes and all this. Like, Stanley Parable is purely made for fun so that the person playing it has fun and explores genuine unique ideas similar to something you might see in a book or another form of media, which, like, 90% of games nowadays are not meant to be that. And it's the kind of, like, art in games that I appreciate and I very rarely see anymore. He made another game after that.
The Beginner's Guide. I have yet to play that.
It's good. I liked it. It's definitely different from the Stanley Parable. But again, it like, I don't know, it has artistic aspirations that I think most other games don't bother to try and even attempt. And it hits them for the most part. Stanley Parable and The Beginner's Guide both are achievements, in my opinion. Not just attempts, which is... again, more than I can say for 90% of what I play. So
there's so much to talk about with the Stanley Parable. It feels like I don't know how to vocalize, because there is so many endings. There is so much to it. There is so much experience that you can have while you're playing it, and different experiences as well.
What was the reaction that you had when you realized, or when was the moment when you realized there were multiple endings? Did you look it up, or did you play through the game one way and then go, oh, that'd be fun.
It's like right away, like within 15 or 20 minutes of playing.
Yeah.
You know, because you hit an ending most of the time. Or if you don't hit an ending, like I think the game strings you on. I mean, it did for me anyway. It strings you on far enough that you're interested to find out what happens. And then when it ends fairly quickly, most people aren't going to go, well, shit, I spent $30 on this and it was only 20 minutes long. What a ripoff. No, they're going to start digging around and seeing like, well, I wonder what happens if I try something different in this section where it looked like I had a choice. And when you do that, the game starts to really open up.
Yeah.
And you realize how much freedom you have in choices, because just like that scenario I was talking about earlier where he says go through the right door and there's a left door, what if you decide to just turn around and go back the way you came from? Well, sometimes that leads to an entirely different scenario as well.
That has happened. I did that for sure. I did that. So that's that's interesting, because coming from a streaming perspective, I played the game for an audience, and bless that audience, did not spoil me that there were multiple endings to that game. So I went through and I played the game and was like, oh, that's great. So I didn't know there were multiple endings until this conversation. So I think I might go back and play the game again.
Yeah. So I have a good friend who I was doing tabletop games with at the time. And he's also a game designer. And he was like, come see this new game that just came out. And I sat down at his desk and I just started playing. And I was like, whoa, this is interesting. And then when I realized, I think what happened was I went through, I kind of like followed the instructions, got the ending, and then it starts you back at the beginning or something. I got started back at the beginning and I was like, wait, what? And I remember just being like, okay, this is cool. Just the feeling of excitement and interest from like, oh man, what can I do if I do this? You know, it becomes very like puzzle-like in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I found it to be a very like rewarding experience.
I like the Truman Show aspect. I like the fact that there is a narrator who's kind of trying to keep you on script. And if you're brave enough, or maybe brave isn't the right word, but if you're willing, you can like test those limits almost immediately. Because I don't do that in life, I don't think.
Yeah.
If I feel like I am being, all the answers point to the right solution being that one, I don't go, okay, well, I'm just going to do this other one because I can, or because everyone's expecting me to do that one, or because this choice is a logical choice. So, you know, forget that, I'm going to do something else. So I think it's interesting to see that perspective.
But I think the game, the more you play it, teaches you that there is no right answer, because there's no ending in that game where you feel like, oh, that was the real ending, or that was the good ending, or this got me to the end of the story, because the story doesn't exist. It is different every single time. It is not well defined, and it ranges from super serious to completely off the wall absurd, like getting stuck outside the level and the narrator going like, well, you're obviously in a video game and you're not Stanley and oops, like so I don't know, it breaks the formula of games. There's no other game like Stanley Parable, in my opinion, and that's such an achievement. I think that's amazing. But it also makes the game a little bit difficult to discuss, because unless you want to start delving into what did ending 28B mean, or or that, discussing it on a whole is a bit difficult, because again, like Murgle said, there's so much to it, and it's not easily defined. There's no core story arc, there's no reoccurring characters, there's just you, the player, and the world that you're given to kind of play around in, and the rule set that you're allowed to follow, or you're allowed, quote unquote, to break.
That's literally life.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think, and getting back to that idea of that's literally life, what do you think is the purpose of the game? So you can look at it from the perspective of, okay, this is designed to be fun. This is designed to, you know, excite the players. You could say, the game developer could say, oh, I just had this idea and I knew I wanted to play a game like that, so that's why I made it. Like, why, what is the purpose of the game? Is it just to exist?
I actually like the idea that, as Mr. B said, if if the game was literally made just for you to have fun, then the idea is that have fun in life. And also, there is no right or wrong decision that will get you the best ending in life. Yeah. Like, everything is just a choice, and you will just have a different, not ending, but a different life path that you're on. Because I feel like a lot of people look back on other choices that they could have made with rose-colored glasses, and they say to themselves, like, oh, you know, what if I had gone to school? My life would be better, or I'd be making more money, I'd be at a different job, and all that. And no, I mean, maybe you would be making more money, and maybe you would be at a different job, but maybe you'd be up to your ears in debt because you made more money and you bought a, you know, car, and, well, you went to school, so you have school debt, you know, things like that. And I feel like most of the time people look back at previous decisions with a weird warped nostalgia, and they think that that would solve all their problems. And I do like the idea of a game just presenting itself. And I'm not sure that they meant for it to be this deep, but I do like the idea of saying, hey, you're just here to explore your options, and each ending is going to be something completely different, but there is no right or wrong ending. It's just a different one. I like that idea.
Yeah, totally. I wouldn't say that they didn't think entirely about stuff like that, because through some of the endings, like I mentioned before, they get kind of existential in and of their own.
Is there a specific one that sticks to mind? Something that you thought?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly how it went. It builds this sort of idea up that you have like a wife, and it sort of describes your life to you. And then you go into this room and there's a mannequin, and the narrator is describing how miserable your life is. But oh my your God. Life is actually not.
That's her, Stanley. You need to be the one to do this, to reach out to her. If you can truly place your faith in another, then pick up the phone.
Oh, Stanley, is that you? Hold on, sweetie. Sorry to keep you waiting. I'm just pulling the bread out of the oven. All right. Okay, there we go. All right, now, I want you to come in and tell me all about
your damn boy.
Gotcha. Oh, come on. Did you actually think you had a loving wife who'd want to commit their life to you? I'm trying to make a point here, Stanley. I'm trying to get you to see something. Sorry, but you're in my story now. Stanley is quite a boring fellow. He has a job that demands nothing of him, and every button that he pushes is a reminder of the inconsequential nature of his existence. Look at him there, pushing buttons, doing exactly what he's told to do. Now he's pushing a button. Now he's eating lunch. Now he's going home. Now he's coming back to work. One might even feel sorry for him, except that he's chosen this life. But in his mind, in his mind he can go on fantastic adventures. From behind his desk, Stanley dreamed of wild expeditions into the unknown, fantastic discoveries of new lands. It was wonderful. And each day that he returned to work was a reminder that none of it would ever happen to him. And so he began to fantasize about his own job. First, he imagined that one day while at work, he stepped up from his desk to realize that all of his co-workers, his boss, everyone in the building had suddenly vanished off the face of the earth. The thought excited him terribly. He imagined that he came to two open doors and that he could go through either. At last, choice. It barely even mattered what lay behind each door. The mere thought that his decisions would mean something was almost too wonderful to behold. As he wandered through this fantasy world, he began to fill it with many possible paths and destinations. Down one path lay an enormous round room with monitors and mind controls. And down another was a yellow line that weaved in many directions. And down another was a game with a baby. And he called it the Stanley Parable. It was such a wonderful fantasy, and so in his head, he relived it again, and then again, and again, over and over, wishing beyond hope that it would never end, that he might always feel this free. Surely there's an answer down some new path, mustn't there be? Perhaps if he played just one more time. But there is no answer. How could there possibly be? In reality, all he's doing is pushing the same buttons he always has. Nothing has changed. The longer he spends here, the more invested he gets, the more he forgets which life is the real one.
And I'm trying to tell him this. That in this world, he can never be anything but an observer. That as long as he remains here, he's slowly killing himself. But he won't listen to me. He won't stop. Here, watch this. Stanley, the next time the screen asks you to push a button, do not do it. How can I tell him in a way that he'll understand that every second he remains here, he's electing to kill himself? How can I get him to see what I see? How can I make him look at himself? I'll try once more to convey all this to him. Maybe this time. And I tried again, and Stanley pushed a button. And I tried again, and Stanley pushed a button. And I tried again. And Stanley pushed a button.
There are ones where it's you didn't exist at all, or you just push a button, and that's just what you do. And it can get pretty dark at times, which hilariously, I feel like those are most of the endings that I got. I didn't get a lot of the really absurd endings. I got all of the like really dark, twisty ones.
I haven't played the game in like 5 years. And coincidentally, there's an achievement for not booting up the game for 5 years. So I should check and see if it's been 5 years and boot the game up and play it again. Because now that it's come up, I want to play it again.
I kind of
want
to play it again too.
But like that achievement being like, don't play the game for 5 years and then boot it up again. Like that is the kind of game that Stanley Parable is. That has an achievement where it's like, don't play me for 5 years. It doesn't make any sense.
There's also an achievement that says like, this is the impossible achievement. This is literally impossible to get, and I don't know how to get it. Yeah, I'm sure it is. You can't get it, which just is like, fuck you, completionist.
I'm a completionist, so that breaks my heart a little bit.
Are you completionist? Because you played it for 20 minutes.
I got an ending. Yeah, I know. I just didn't. You know, I didn't know there were multiple endings, and I was like, okay, that was cool.
But it's great because when you play that ending, and I think I know what ending you're talking about. It's like when it opens the garage door, and it's like Stanley stepped outside. He looked around and saw he was free finally. Yeah. And so you play it, and you're like, oh yeah, I mean that was a cool commentary on like business and life, you know?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, okay, I don't have to work in an office for the rest of my life. Okay, cool. Like most of us do though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cool. And then I kept going because I think at the time I was working in an office. I was streaming at night, like when I got home from work, and then I played this game that was like, you are free now. And I was like, well, fuck you, game, I'm not. So see you tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Stanley walked straight ahead through the large door that read Mind Control Facility. The lights rose on an enormous room packed with television screens. What horrible secret did this place hold? Stanley thought to himself. Did he have the strength to find out? Now the monitors jumped to life, their true nature revealed. Each bore the number of an employee in the building, Stanley's co-workers. The lives of so many individuals reduced to images on a screen, and Stanley, one of them, eternally monitored in this place where freedom meant nothing. This mind control facility, it was too horrible to believe. It couldn't be true. Had Stanley really been under someone's control all this time? Was this the only reason he was happy with his boring job? That his emotions had been manipulated to accept it blindly? No. He refused to believe it. He couldn't accept it. His own life in someone else's control? Never. It was unthinkable. Wasn't it? Was it even possible? Had he truly spent his entire life utterly blind to the world? But here was the proof, the heart of the operation. Controls labeled with emotions, happy or sad or content. Walking, eating, working, all of it monitored and commanded from this very place. And as the cold reality of his past began to sink in, Stanley decided that this machinery would never again exert its... blackness and a rising chill of uncertainty. Was it over? Yes. He had won. He had defeated the machine. Unshackled himself from someone else's command. Freedom was mere moments away. And yet, even as the immense door slowly opened, Stanley reflected on how many puzzles still lay unsolved. Where had his co-workers gone? How had he been freed from the machine's grasp? What other mysteries did this strange building hold? But as sunlight streamed into the chamber, he realized none of this mattered to him. For it was not knowledge or even power that he had been seeking, but happiness. Perhaps his goal had not been to understand, but to let go. No longer would anyone tell him where to go, what to do, or how to feel. Whatever life he lives, it will be his. And that was all he needed to know. It was perhaps the only thing worth knowing. Stanley stepped through the open door. Stanley felt the cool breeze upon his skin, the feeling of liberation, the immense possibility of the new path before him. This was exactly the way, right now, that things were meant to happen. And Stanley was happy.
And then, like, I think the second ending that I got was the one where it was like, oh, you're not real, and you imagined everyone that you love. And I was like, what
Ouch.
Is this?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was so good. Yeah.
Could you imagine if that were real? If you just, like, one day it was like, no, you don't exist.
Yeah, we
or
live
rather,
in a simulation.
You do exist, but you have
Here's a better
everybody.
Question.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, are you trying to say that one day I'm not going to exist?
Yeah, well, you don't exist right now.
Bull roar. Yeah. I can't handle that reality. Okay. I feel like there was a period of time where I was really into this conceptualizing reality as being something different or non-existent, or, you know, again, these existential discussions of like, what's the meaning of everything and blah, blah, blah. And then I just kind of like got tired. Like, I just, what you wow. just, you think about that stuff all the time. It doesn't really serve any purpose other than for you to be like, yeah, I've read about simulation theories. And then you're just like alone in your apartment in the meantime being like, I mean, I guess there's no meaning to anything. It's not really incentive to like live a good life. I mean, I know that there is such a way to do that, and I've definitely harnessed that power. Trust me, I'm the first person to say that the idea that nothing exists and, you know, one day I'll die and I mean nothing in the universe. I just like to think about how big the universe is and how useless I am, and that calms me down in moments of anxiety. But also, I think it can be like difficult.
I didn't know you were a nihilist.
I'm an optimistic nihilist. Unlike the type of nihilist where it's like, yeah, nothing means anything, so you make your own meaning, and that's pretty rad, I
guess.
That's
actually a form of existentialism, but Airstats, the YouTube channel, coined the term optimistic nihilist, and I think everybody's running with it, but it is actually a form of existentialism, I think. I just can't remember the name of it. But yeah, it's where it's like, yeah, I know that when I die, I'm not really going anywhere, and you could take it that their life has no meaning, but I choose to give it meaning. I choose to, you know, have it mean this. And so life is what you make it. Yeah.
You can easily get stuck in the trap of staying there in that mentality and saying like, oh, I know the truth. And the real truth is that nothing matters. So I know the truth and I'm a genius. You know what I mean?
Or because I know the truth, there's no point to anything, or what is the point of existing? So I'm just going to do this dead end job and not find any fulfillment or anything like that. And it's like, it doesn't have to be like that.
It's not helpful to me anyway. To me, it's not helpful because, again, it's that same idea that like, oh, I wish I was the type of person that could have those thoughts and then not be fazed by them, but I am. And it took me a really long time to realize that I am, and that it's not like good for me to exist in that space. So while I can go there, and if someone asks me what I think, that's what I'll say. But, you know, in the meantime, I still have to wake up, go to work,
you know, like I have to, I still have to
find some meaning in that.
Yeah, I still, and the other thing is that I have the option, which I think is kind of like Stanley Parable, where you have the option, you can take the right or left door, knowing that the right door leads you somewhere else. And if you've played it enough times, you know, you can start to remember the paths that you go down. But, you know, I have the option to not think that way all the time. I guess I've sort of like made peace with the idea that I don't have to. I think what I love about Stanley Parable in that way is that it does ask questions like that, whether it's designed or aimed to be meaningless. It asks those questions, and you can derive meaning through certain endings. There are certain endings where they're very meaningful to Stanley. You know, the ending that you get where you leave the garage and you're free.
Yeah.
The concept of freedom. You're still in a game, so it's not really free. But if you believe it's free...
I have to stop you. What do you mean they're meaningful to Stanley?
Oh. Bum, bum, bum. Well... Well, you are Stanley, so you're playing Stanley.
They're meaningful to you.
Yeah, but I feel like through the guise of playing Stanley, good catch. But it's not like I play the game and I was like, oh, yay, I finally got out, you know?
Well, I just found it interesting that you, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot and be
no,
like,
of course.
Oh, they're secretly meaningful to you. I figured you out. I think it's interesting that they're meaningful to Stanley, because like realistically you've known Stanley the character for all of probably 10 minutes by the time you reach any ending in that game. And furthermore, he is a blob. Like he has no image. He is controlled entirely by you. He never speaks. So you are Stanley. Like, Stanley is not a character or anything like that, but I just found it interesting that you still, like, at certain endings, you're like, well, it's meaningful to Stanley.
But the narrator gives him a narrative, you know? Like, the narrator tells his story, and at that point, you're kind of like, okay, this is a narrative in some way. The narrator gives him personality.
Yeah, the narrator will speak of Stanley as for him, basically. Like, Stanley out of frustration, or Stanley was bored, or, you know, he definitely gives you an idea of who Stanley is.
It's not a real idea, is the thing, right? Because the narrator says what he wants, but ultimately you're the one in control throughout the entire game. Never is it taken away from you. So.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so wild to me.
Maybe it's kind of like, just because I'm digging for meaning, as humans do. Maybe
the quest.
The quest for meaning.
The real parable.
It's like maybe the narrator is the storyteller of our own selves. The narration that we tell ourselves of what we should be doing or what we need to be doing, and how we constantly change that on ourselves.
I love that idea, because I feel like since I only played it one time and I got one ending and I was like, that was cool. I'm honestly flabbergasted that there is more than one ending to this game. I feel like I missed so
much.
That's like literally the game.
Nobody told me. No one told me. I got through. We played a demo. I played the game and then I got an ending and I was like, well, that was cool, chat. Thank you. Bye.
And no one said you should keep playing?
No, I think somebody maybe mentioned there are multiple endings, but not like that. That was the fucking point of the game. I was just like, oh, okay, maybe there are two other endings, as there are in most games, but they're not really that different. I'll have to Google them sometime, is what I was thinking.
And she never thought about the game again until this very moment.
Yes, it's true.
We are blowing her mind. I guess you could play the game once and then be like, well, that was my life.
That's kind of how I took it. I was like, okay, I see what I, well, it's weird, but it's like, I, you know, it was very much like, oh, Stanley, I'm narrating which directions you need to go in and what you need to do. And you're going to break free and not do that thing. But the whole game for me, my playthrough was in that office. So it was like, to me, I took it as, you know, you don't have to stay in your dead end job and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And break free and do that thing and don't listen to the narrator. Don't listen to your own internal dialogue sometimes that's telling you you can't, yeah. Which is a great message. It's a very powerful message. But I just was like, I guess I just was not in the place to receive that message completely through a 20-minute game. I was like, okay, that was kind of cool. I honestly thought to myself, I don't know why everybody loves this game so much.
Because like, that's not the message though, right? That's the thing. That ending, I never got an ending in Stanley Parable and was like, wow, man, my life has just been explained or the door has been opened or anything like that. But as a whole, it does give you that feeling of, yeah, this is something a little bit more significant than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
There's no...
But that's what's great about it, because you have that one ending, which is like the quick and dirty version, you know. But when you play out many, many different endings, that message is still sort of there, but it's so much more powerful and nuanced. Like, it just becomes a very complex version of that, like, more accurate to life in some way.
It's great that it's a game. They picked the right medium, because I don't think it would work in most other mediums. And that's another reason I love Stanley Parable, is because most games could be books. Like, if you play Metal Gear Solid, that should have been a feature film. The guy spends like 4 hours sometimes. There are cutscenes in that game that are literally more than an hour long. You just put down the controller and you watch a cinematic play out, which is terrible in my opinion. And I realize there are tons and tons of diehard Metal Gear fans out there, so I apologize, but watch a fucking movie.
We don't swear on the podcast, by the way.
Really?
No, we do. Yeah,
okay.
We do. That's fine.
Really?
I know, it's hard to
believe. But, like, that game, Stanley Parable, only works as a game, I think. I mean, I likened it to a choose-your-own-adventure novel, and it's kind of similar, but I think it works...
It wouldn't have the
way
same effect
better.
If you weren't
no,
playing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think it works way better as a game, because your degree of freedom in a choose-your-own-adventure novel is like...
turning a fucking page.
Right. Do I turn to page 26 or 126 versus like, oh, I saw a window over there. What happens if I try and jump out of it? Because that's an ending in Stanley Parable, where you're like, fuck this. I'm going to jump out the window of the office. Like, that's an ending.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, but nothing, like, you don't die, you end up in a white void space, and he's like, oh dear, how'd you get here?
Are you okay?
That is so awful.
What are you talking about?
I took that as suicide. You jump out the window, and then it's just a white space, and he says, oh dear, how did you get here? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a great game.
That's really deep and really profound. Not like, oh boy, how did you get into this broken space of a game, but how did you get so depressed you wanted to jump out of a window?
Yeah, but then there's also a baby walking towards fire.
Oh my god, I would just cry.
Yeah, you should play it.
Yeah, I will. I will play, now I will play it again.
Game.
I will now play it again.
No, it's, you get outside the window and it's like, clearly you've clipped out of the level because you can see the outside of the building, or like the structure that they've used to compose the office, which is just a gigantic cube with one single window in it, which is the window that needed to be modeled from the inside.
Why am I like that? I'm so weird. I anthropomorphize everything. Like, I name my plants. My plants have personalities. Like, I name my desk. I name my cameras. I do all of that. And then I also I empathize with the, I think that the game is telling me, oh my, depressed individual, that you jumped out of a freaking window in a video game. How did you get here? Please tell me everything.
Okay, but to your credit, you wouldn't know what the tone of the scene is like. You don't.
But
know
I know
what
myself well
like.
Enough to know if that had happened, I would probably stop and go, oh boy, what if they meant this? I mean, that's why
that
this podcast exists, because I literally put meaning in all of these things.
But is that bad, though?
No, I just wonder how I got there, or how I got like this, because I feel like a lot of people don't do that. They're just like, oh, it's just a game.
You may have noticed that this room has begun to deteriorate as a result of narrative contradiction. But not to worry. Now that you're properly informed on good decision-making, we're going to revisit a choice you made just a few minutes ago and see what the correct thing to do would have been. You'll take the door on the left, back to the correct ending, the story will have resolution once again, and you'll be home free in the real world. Now remember, all you need to do is behave exactly as Stanley would. That means choosing responsibly and always putting the story first. I'm quite sure you'll be up to the task. Just follow my lead and you'll be fine. All right. When Stanley came to a set of two open doors, he entered the door on his left. No! Why did you do that? Quickly, hurry back in the other direction. Perhaps we're not too late. Oh, it's ruined. I can't believe, after everything we talked about, that my story, you've destroyed my work! Why? For what? What did you get out of that? What did you think was so special about seeing the game undone, left here like so much garbage? It's worthless now. And what am I supposed to do? Even if there were a way to continue, would it be worth it? To know that my story is now incorrect? How can I go back to that? I can't erase that knowledge. I'll have to live with it forever, reliving its impossibility forever. I couldn't live that way. Is it better to shut the game down entirely? To willingly destroy all of my work? I don't know. What's the answer? What do I do? What do I do? No, I have to. I have to shut the game down. I have to. I have to.
But yeah, that's why people appreciate poetry, in my opinion, because it...
Did you just call me a poet?
Oh, get a room.
There are many poems that I was forced to read throughout high school that seemingly have no meaning. And yet, you get someone to stand up in front of a classroom and talk about the meaning in the poem, and they will go on for hours and hours and hours, when sometimes, like, the original content just has no intention behind it at all. It was just somebody talking. And that's kind of what Stanley Parable feels like a lot of the time, which is just like, this would be funny or this would be cool, and I'm going to put it in a video game and let players be able to discover it, which would be really neat and fun.
Yeah, except that the game is called the Stanley Parable, which implies that they have a message to deliver. But maybe the message is that there is no message.
Yeah, well, I think the message...
a parable is originally, you know, a religious teaching.
Yeah. I think the other thing about it is that it allows the gamer to have a completely unique experience with it. And if you do want to be that person that breaks it down into pieces, it's like a really great example of the person experiencing the art making the art in some way. I'm not sure if that's like such a huge statement, but I feel like, first of all, games are so, they're designed to be, here I go off the rails,
no, that's fine, no, it's
you
fine.
you have so much control in games that it gives you so much power, right? And as part of that, you become the main character of whatever you're doing. That game exists for you in that moment, right? So I don't think it's much of a stretch to assume that if the player brings their own perspectives and then has their own unique experience with Stanley Parable, someone could play that game and walk away and be like, haha, that was really cool. Or someone could play that game and be like, this game really opened up my mind in many ways I didn't anticipate.
But see, I just wonder if part of that, the person who goes into the game and has an altering of perspective, is it because they played the game not really expecting anything, or did they expect something from it? Or the people who go in going, oh, this is just a game, like, wait.
Is it just a version? Well, maybe it's just that those people expect different things from the world around them.
Yeah.
They like walk through their lives with different things that they look for, different expectations, different ways of thinking.
Yeah, you know, that's very interesting to think about. Indeed. Well,
yeah,
we did it, fam.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about the Stanley Parable for 50 minutes. So thank you guys for talking about the Stanley Parable with me. Do you want to do a final farewell and let everybody know where they can find you on the World Wide Web?
Hi, I'm Mergles. You can find me on twitch.tv/Mergles or Twitter Mergles or Instagram Mergles.
I am Mr. B. You can find me at twitch.tv/pumpkinberry. I am the disembodied voice in the background, cooking her meals, taking care of her cats, making sure she has a home that is in general good repair in the background, while she streams for her entire life for your entertainment. So appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
If you think I'm leaving that in the podcast,
just well, it's just like I'm Mr. B. Cut. It's just like I'm Mr. B. Silence.
You can cut it at any point during that, but you should leave the disembodied voice part because okay. It's funny.
The whole thing's funny, and as is me saying, if you think I'm going to leave that in, you're out of your goddamn mind. So just leave it in.
This is like the meta
yeah. Meta, super
if you
meta,
like
yeah.
This, you might like Stanley Parable.
Oh, shit.
Way to wrap it around. I know that episode was a little bit different than what you're probably expecting, but once again, thank you to Mergles, and thank you again to Mr. B for helping me out this week in last minute coming in to talk about the Stanley Parable. In editing this episode, I just have to say that I am shocked that I only thought there was one ending to this game and that there was so much more to it that I had no idea. I will definitely be playing this game in the near future on my Twitch channel so that I can go through some of more of what Stanley Parable has to offer. And if you're interested in joining me on that adventure, you can do so at twitch.tv/pumpkinberry. And the Deep Dive podcast is brought to you by PBTV. You can find us at deepdivecast.com as well as on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. And if you like what you hear, please consider rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. And if you'd like to, you can support the show by visiting us on Patreon at Pumpkinberry. Patrons receive various perks like monthly black and white wallpapers, high-quality versions of the episode, bonus episode content, and, of course, the knowledge that you directly are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. We'd also like to invite you personally to join us every Monday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we air the episodes live and have a deep dive session with the listeners right there in chat. Come join in on the conversation at twitch.tv/pumpkinberry. I'll see you next week, divers.
Thought you were so clever. Now look where we are. My entire game is destroyed. It was the only thing in the world that was mine, and you run it into the ground. What, did you think that would be funny? You just had to see? Didn't I impress upon you how important it was to be like Stanley? He actually knows how to do what I tell him to. He understands that if I say to do something, there's a damn good reason for it. That thought hadn't even occurred to you, had it? That there's a world outside of you? You're a child.
The Deep Dive podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.